Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,99 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
When you love riding a motorcycle, you want to ride it everywhere, even to a physical.
Let's check your weight. Hop on the scale. Look at that. You're down a few pounds.
Oh, yeah. Must be the new carbon fiber wheels.
And when you love saving money, you want to save even more. That's why GEICO makes it easy to bundle your motorcycle and car insurance.
I'm going to prescribe 91 Octane for your engine knock, and we'll want to see you again in 3,000 miles.
Kickstart your savings with GEICO Motorcycle. Bundle and save on the things you love.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. We are worldwide at American Forces Radio with a huge surprise right now in the Napa Auto Parts studios. I am looking at a man who looks like a slender Santa Claus just as he hits 40 years of age. It's the dark-haired Santa, Mick Foley from the world of the WWE. Hey, Mick, what a surprise. Great seeing you.
Why, thank you. Are you saying I look like a 40-year-old, huh?
I'm
51. Yeah, I appreciate that.
51. Yeah. I thought he was going to say he's 28.
No, I'm looking a little youthful these days. Yeah, thank you.
Moisturizer
and slim too.
Yeah. Your beard is outstanding.
It's magnificent.
It's reaching epic proportions now.
There might be just a touch. I mean, a slight touch of gray, but that may just be the light.
Actually, had I not covered it up, there'd be large touches of gray.
See, Mick, this is where you get to pretend that.
Well, you know what? I was keeping it natural, and I was touching it up with like a mousse, you know, mm-hmm. because I do this thing in December, you know, this ambassadorial role, you know, I want to, you know, read between the lines,
right?
You know,
mm-hmm. December,
right.
Large
December. And I have a real job with WWE, but mm-hmm. I was sacrificing my charitable, you know, pursuit as an ambassador, like putting that ahead of the real job, and Stephanie McMahon, my commissioner said, Mick, did you touch up the beard today? And I said, yeah, why? She goes, well, it's looking pretty gray. And we had about 10 minutes for airtime. I said, all right, let me touch it up a little bit more. And I go over to WWE, to where the mousse is. And the makeup lady goes, I could touch it up a little mascara. And I said, okay, that sounds good. And I didn't check the mirror because I seldom check mirrors in my lifetime. And then I went out and I grabbed the microphone and I look at that huge Titantron at what appears to be a jet black beard. Jet black. And I just went, I'm going to go with the temporary dye. You know, I can go with the 6-week dye. So it looks pretty natural, right? Yeah.
It does. It
doesn't make me any less of a man to dye my beard, right?
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah, you used to do that, didn't you?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you use Just for Wrestlers. the name of the dye, Just for Wrestlers. Groucho famously was late for a gig in New York City, and he walked in and took the shoe polish, didn't have time to put on the fake mustache, grabbed shoe polish, took his thumb and went wonk, wonk, and made the mustache. And that's how he did it. Didn't ever have a mustache until he did You Bet Your Life.
Right? Really?
That was, if you look carefully at those Groucho movies, it's just shoe polish.
Oh, it's just painted on,
Once they started making the movies, that's what he did. So, but look, you got a great-looking beard. I'm not going to say that just saying you look like a young, middle-aged Santa Claus is not offensive to you.
No, I love it, man. It's you know.
And you're wearing Santa green.
I am wearing, and got reindeer buttons here.
Yeah.
A little snowman on it. Mick has a great documentary on. I forget which one, Netflix or Hulu or what it's called.
Son, yeah.
It's about Santa Claus.
It's called I Am Santa Claus on Netflix. It's a... getting a little executive produced by Morgan Spurlock.
A
little sleeper.
Nice.
It's feel good in a very un-Hollywood, non-Hollywood way. Mm-hmm. It kind of hits you when you don't expect it.
Yeah, it is terrific. It's great.
Mick Foley is our guest. Speaking of hitting people, Mick, coming
really
up.
Really hit them.
I mean, sometimes people get...
Would you hit Tom for us, Mick?
I like Tom.
Can you body slam him to the ground just once?
Coming up live on Sunday, it's a special WWE event, and that's on on their channel.
Yeah, the WWE Network. Mm-hmm.
And it's there's a special thing they got going where you can get a month for free.
Oh, man, yeah, you can always, not always, you can get the first month free. Mr. McMahon believes that if you try it, you'll like it. It's kind of like life cereal in that regard. And so you just check it out. You get that first month free. And while you're there, checking out Clash of Champions, you can feel free to binge watch my reality show, Holy Foley, as well.
Holy Foley.
Holy Foley.
Mick Foley, and also featuring, you're in the show, not by yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, my family's there. Yeah, my daughter, Noelle, is kind of my co-star and the entire Foley family.
I'm trying to spoon feed him.
My wife of hunt. You're doing great. You are.
I'm the only one on the show.
The fabulous Foley family.
It's almost as if he watched.
This is I'm feeding off your energy here.
Now, Mick, you have like 18 books, or is it five? If you had to read one Mick Foley book, which one would you read?
I don't know the name, but it's so seldom that I get a compliment about one of my novels.
Oh, yeah. My name's Josh Tatum Brown.
Tatum Brown. Yeah. It's a novel. Yeah. I hardly ever hear about my novels. Like, it's very frequent that I get my 1999 memoir, you know, mm-hmm. brought to me at appearances, but very seldom. Over in the UK, I'll get Tatum Brown. It did okay over there. Tatum Brown, coming of age story, a little bit dark. I didn't know it was dark when I was writing.
You don't get compliments on it because you go to radio stations where no one can read.
No one reads. We finally got a reader in here.
Yeah, and my dad. We went and saw you at a Barnes and Noble. You signed a copy for my dad.
All right.
He still cherishes it.
All right. So, yeah. Thank you.
Mick Foley.
Yeah, no idea what a great guy you were, did you?
I did not know that.
And you look nice in a mirror.
Thank you.
I don't know why you avoid them.
Yeah, thanks.
Like a vampire thing. WWE special event Sunday night. Check it out. We'll give you some details. We'll throw it on the Bob and Tom app. And by the way, coming up, we have something very exciting. It's going to be the presidential announcement of one Doug LaDouche. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Hey, it's 10 o'clock at Q95. It's the Bob and Tom Show. Hello there.
Hey, hi. How's it going? Well, great to have you here. We are in a wonderful place right now. We've got the Napa Auto Parts Studios going on. We've got a special guest in the studio, and we're going to be joined by another special guest in a matter of moments. But we have Mick Foley here, and Mick is in town. He's beating the bushes. He's got a lot going on. And among other things, he's got a big, big Sunday evening event, which you can catch live and in person at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Of course, I'm talking about the WWE Clash of Champions coming up Sunday at 8 o'clock in the evening. And that's also going to be on pay-per-view on the WWE Network. And they've got a special thing on the network right now where you can check it out on the house for a month. We also have some big prizes coming up, and our special guests would include Querry and Schultz, the famous sports duo, have joined us for our special Colts Corner event. We have Querry and Schultz in the studio. Let's say hello to the fellas here.
Hey, Jake. Guys.
Hi. Good morning.
Jake, how are you?
Typically, Knob City is anywhere we're hanging out, right? I've never heard Noblesville referred to as Knob City.
What a couple of knobs.
That's right.
I got a friend who lives in Noblesville. Calls it Knob
City. They really
City.
Call it Knob City?
Really?
That's what he says.
Yeah.
Really?
Hey, he's putting you on.
I never considered that.
Is a mayor run on that platform?
I've never heard that. I mean, maybe those that live there refer to it as that.
Well, we're always learning something, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly are.
You have a good day.
What other towns have nicknames around here? Does Muncie have a nickname?
Funcy Muncie, right?
Yeah.
Tucky.
Funcy Muncie.
I've heard Leb Tucky with Lebanon before.
Right. I've heard Noble Tucky.
Noble Tucky, yes. Yeah. That's true. See, Knob City is, I think, more complimentary than
Noble Tucky.
Noble Tucky.
Mm-hmm. It depends.
But we've talked about this on the show. Everybody hates somebody. Like, Indiana doesn't get along with Kentucky. Ohio doesn't like Michigan. Northern California doesn't like Southern California.
Okay, I've always wondered about this, Chick. That means ultimately in that food chain, there has to be a state that is the bottom of the barrel that has no one.
That no one likes at all.
Exactly.
So who is that?
It might be
Mississippi.
Delaware.
Might be Delaware. Could be Mississippi.
Delaware's just too irrelevant, I would think.
No sales tax in Delaware.
Yeah, but isn't
it's Delaware. Yeah, because you drive through Delaware, they hit you with five tolls within a 7-mile. You hate it. If you don't live there, you absolutely hate it.
And
it's not fair.
Isn't Rhode Island the place that almost every contest is void?
Isn't that you hear it often, right?
Don't they have to say void where prohibited?
Yeah,
and that's
I hate that place.
Always Rhode Island.
I hate that place.
That's the voice of Mick Foley. And Mick is a distinguished wrestler, writer, actor, television host.
Documentarian.
Yes.
You got a lot going on. When you started this, you probably had no idea this was going to be going down all these different roads.
I had no idea. I remember Diamond Dallas Page telling me that I could do things outside of wrestling. And I was like, no. Like, what? He's like, bro, you can do anything you want. It's like name one. And he told me I was capable of great things. I did not believe him in the early 90s. And it turned out, I would like to say I was a Renaissance man, but one of you will make me try to spell it. So it cannot be something I'm unable to spell.
Well, you know, we were mentioning earlier, this is an educational show, Mick. And you probably thought we were kidding. But you don't realize that you are in the presence of greatness. And, of course, I'm referring to the man sitting next to you. He goes by the name Derek Schultz in his sports program. However, Mr. Foley does not know this, that while in high school in Connecticut, where were you? Danbury?
Trumbull.
Trumbull.
Not far from Stanford, the world headquarters of WWE.
Yeah. Trumbull, World Series Little League winning?
Yes,
Trumbull,
exactly. Oh, yes. Here we go. We're going to be best friends, you and me.
Derek Schultz and his buddies, actually, you built a ring.
Yes.
And you put it in one of your buddies' backyards.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody took on a wrestling.
Am I going to be persona for something here?
And now we are in the presence of.
Yeah, my stage name, Mick, was Drake Triumph. Okay. And we had a league called the Backyard Wrestling League that we just called BYW. And when I was 15, you had your famous 1998 Hell in a Cell match between you and The Undertaker.
I just talked to him about that.
Which changed everything for us in our league.
You didn't try to emulate that in your back.
No, no. Come on, I'm not taking the blame for this.
There may have been an
not
incident
leaving me hanging on this one.
Where we tried to find thumbtacks, but we ended up settling on pushpins.
Okay.
And we dumped a bunch of pushpins in the league and tried to basically...
Into the ring.
Yeah. Into the ring and... And all hell broke loose, if you will.
And I would like to point out that I'm sure Derek's too shy to say this, but he would love to talk to Mr. McMahon to license the name Drake Triumph to the next potential superstar in the WWE.
A fine name.
That is a great name.
How long did the league last?
Greg Sanfinandre dislocated his shoulder, kind of like what happened to you, I think, right? When you got thrown off the cage.
I did, yeah.
And he didn't get thrown off the cage. He got hit into a plywood board. And the parents threatened legal action, and then we decided that we're
going to disband the league. Stuff, all right?
We're going to disband the league now.
God, I wish we'd known about this earlier, because I wonder if they would have the WWE would have let you do a special intro to the intro where we introduce Drake Triumph. Do you have
a
cape
hold on. Let me just one dislocation. Yeah. And you guys were done?
That was it. That was it after that. We were all 14 or 15. Everybody was scared.
Yeah.
Parents were going to sue. Disbanded the whole
what
thing.
Did they Delaware put in the water in trouble, man?
League lasted. Wow. We're hanging out with Mick Foley, and Mick is, in fact, a distinguished writer, and he has, among other things, novels, memoirs, and
children's books as well.
He's going to be.
I'm going to write a thinly veiled novel about a kid who dislocated his shoulder and called it quits. A boy with no will.
His name was Drake Defeat. Mick is part of the big action WWE Clash of Champions Sunday evening at the beautiful Fieldhouse downtown, Bankers Life. You know, we always forget, we're so used to these amazing facilities in Indiana. This town has just about one of everything and about five of some things when it comes to places for great events. Bankers Life is such a great place. And obviously, Lucas Oil, amazing. Everything about that is just a tremendous, tremendous. The architecture is amazing. It's great fans. It's great for the people involved. So it's a terrific place to go and see. And think about all the great concert venues we have.
Yeah.
Klipsch Music Center, the Murat Theater, Clues Hall. It just goes on and on and on. It's a great town with great stuff and great fans. I also want to mention, if you can't get down to the event, you can check it out on pay-per-view on the WWE Network, where you will also find Holy Foley.
You can find it there.
And,
indeed, yeah.
You got so much going on.
And his live show is terrific.
Thank you. Yeah.
Anywhere you can. You can.
I'm taking a break from those for a little while because I'm the WWE GM. There's a lot of traveling involved, so I'm focusing on that. And this reality show just kind of came out of nowhere. Mr. McMahon saw the chemistry I had with my daughter. My daughter really, she's great on camera. And she's 22. We've had three arguments. That's pretty It's pretty, pretty special.
That's amazing. I have a 3.5-year-old I've already had 40 arguments with. If you have a 3.5-year-old, look at you and Daddy, I'm not wearing this. What do you mean you're not wearing that? You're 3.5. No. It was just last Saturday morning.
Hey, Mick, I'm curious. You might have touched on this earlier. Do you still have family or connection to Bloomington, Indiana at all?
No. My brother went to college there. You know, I still have great memories there. That's where I was born. Just yesterday, I was in Santa Claus, Indiana, working on this Santa memoir I was talking about during the break. The woman at the Santa Claus Museum was like, you should get published by Indiana University Publishing. I was like, that would be a great story. You know, like that would be like coming full circle. Like
right.
It's a, you know, you have to look for the story within the story, especially mm-hmm. in publishing these days because, you know, people are not reading like they used to. So
that would be rather interesting for the university press to take on one of your volumes, I would think.
I can still rattle off the starting five from the 76 national team. You want to call me on it?
Go.
Kent Benson at center. Wilkerson, Abernathy, forwards, Quint Buckner, and Scott May was a forward. It was Buckner and Abernathy and the guards.
Right? Wilkerson was a guard.
Wilkerson. Son of a nutcracker.
You got all the names right.
Impressive.
Son of a nutcracker.
That's impressive, yeah.
I don't want to say anything, but someone in this room has an erection. That was very well done, Mr. Foley.
That was impressive.
Wow, I can.
Now, all afternoon
in their
that
show.
Time. Yeah.
I can hear it all afternoon on your show. It'll be, you'll Jake will be going, I'm sure you heard this morning, or I corrected Mick Foley.
That's right.
Yeah. That's better than the time I corrected Murray.
Wilkerson was a long guard, so he was like
okay,
a
there you go. Yeah,
very good. Very good.
You would have been, 10 or 11, Mick, for that?
I was, I was 11 or 12, and I still remember Michigan was up at halftime, and I had to be consoled. I was sobbing. I even wrote a poem about it. Something was the score, and a Wayman Britt elbow. He was a Michigan player, sent him crashing to the floor. And,
nice.
And they ended up winning by 17. You know, like it was such a big. When the next time they came around and won the championship was against Syracuse, right? And I went to college in Cortland, New York, which was only 30 miles from Syracuse. So we went to Syracuse to watch it. And
I'm sure you were popular.
I kept my mouth shut until that final, the Keith Smart jumper at the buzzer. Everybody's in orange, right? And that jumper went in, and one guy jumps up and yells, "Yes!" That would be me. Nice. Barely made it out of there alive. You know, I had some wrestling skills, but not enough skills to take on an entire bar.
That is the voice of Mick Foley. Mick and I have virtually nothing in common except during the break, he likes to dictate his text messages, which I love to do. I was just in my car the other day, and when I do them, you guys have all received text messages from me. I like to use the ellipsis, the three-dot thing.
Yep, you are a fan.
So I'm in a car with someone, and I'm doing this message, and when I'm done, they go, "Who's ellipsis?" Which is a legitimate question. It sounds like maybe something for someone from Greek mythology.
It does.
Yeah. And then sometimes I'll do the thing at the end where I'll go dictated, not proofread. So when they get it and it makes no sense. And but when you're writing your novels and your books now, you dictate them to a degree. And then
well, I haven't done any novels since the failure of the first two to sell many copies. I'll take that on when my kids are grown. You know, but once I realized I could make as much money for a comeback match against Carlito as I could to be secluded for hundreds of hours.
Right. You know what you needed for those first two? What? Indiana University Press.
There you go. I love doing them. And they're on.
And they are great. They are great.
I appreciate that. The thing about a book is they're kind of timeless. You can kind of take it down from the shelf in a way that, you know, being online just isn't. So I can maybe go back and revisit that. I've really enjoyed this process of doing this Santa memoir. What I love about it is I know nobody's going to buy it. You know, I'm doing it because I want to do it. I'll probably donate at least half the money, maybe all of it to, you know, charitable organizations. And so I'm having a lot of fun doing it. And I am toying around with the talk to text. And I'm like the pretentious author. Like I wasn't this way with my first with the first book, but now I'm in love with the semicolon. I love the semicolon. So
yeah.
I like text. Said Joey, semicolon. And then it actually comes out on the thing. Yeah.
I graduated from college and still don't know how to use a semicolon. I never.
I use it inaccurately.
I
it's
have
just
no
I use
idea
it a lot.
What it's for. Right.
So if you don't know what the semicolon is, you'll be impressed.
It separates two clauses that are sort of,
Similar. Yeah. So
I tend to use the semicolon in some kind of a joke about some kind of surgical procedure. Well, when he was done, he had a semicolon. He's okay now. Our guest is Mick Foley, who is a very fine writer and a TV dude, and part of the WWE huge event Sunday evening at the Great Bankers Life Fieldhouse. What exactly will your role be?
Well, I'm the general manager, so I have helped construct this amazing card. Hopefully I won't have to play too large a role. I'm sure I'll be reprimanded and browbeaten. Chris Jericho has now taken to browbeating me. He's now pointing out all of the ways. He has a list of Jericho, all the ways I've fallen short.
Sure.
And I just on Monday Night Raw, I went out there and I was quoting Mark Twain. Did you see this? Monday Night? And I was quoting the famous Twain thing about it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And I said it, and I could sense that either nobody got it or they were laughing, and I just went, I messed that up, didn't I? And I won't even watch it back because apparently it was so unintelligible, like it didn't even sound like the quote. And when I went back and said it, like I still didn't get it. I just decided to quit while I was ahead. And then I got a memo from the estate of Mark Twain asking me to never quote him again. And I'm like, I'm an author. How could I not get this? You know, like, so
don't you hate that when you think you remember the famous George W. Bush thing where he goes, "You fool me once."
Yeah, he got completely lost.
Then he forgets
it, right?
The phrase.
No idea.
But that happens on this show on a daily basis.
But this is the beautiful thing about WWE. Like in the real world, you want people to forget that stuff, right? In our world, you get a hold of the people and go, now make sure you exploit that, find that, use it, have sure. Jericho list that as another reason.
So he's got a list of all?
He's got a list of reasons why, I've fallen short.
So he must have been talking to my girlfriend. I don't know where they get those lists, but mine keeps getting larger and larger. She's out of town.
Yeah, there's nothing worse about that than that. It's worse them hearing about what you said than actually hearing what you said. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Mick Foley is.
Oh, then he said.
Hey, now, do you – this is going to sound like an awful question, but are you instructed when it comes to the way you wear your hair and your beard? Do they say, do this, do that, or do you just kind of go with your own thing and hope they like it? Or do they walk up and go, hey, cut your hair, grow it long?
Do you think Mr. McMahon would choose to have me look this way? he's
very well groomed. I want to make that
yes,
clear.
Yes, he's immaculate. This shows you like my standing with the company that he's allowing me to look this way. The only when I was out of favor with the company and they called me, they needed me a couple of years ago. The big issue was my sweatpants. He hated the sweatpants. And he hated the flannel. He didn't like the flannel shirt. So when they needed me, when I was in a position where they needed me more than I needed them, I said, okay, I can do it. And then I get back and I go, but I'm wearing sweatpants. And they go, all right. And so when I showed up for SummerSlam last year, I was like, Vince, you okay with this? Now I had to like kind of, this is a year ago, Mr. McMahon.
Do you call him Vince or Mr. McMahon?
That was when you realized you no longer have the relationship you once did. Now he becomes Mr. McMahon after 18 years of being Vince. He's Mr. McMahon. And Mr. McMahon, are you okay with this? And he goes, lose the fanny pack. all right, flannel shirt's okay, sweatpants okay, lose the fanny pack, really? Which is completely
understandable. I hate sweatpants and don't own a pair. Hate them.
Well, just another item on the list where Tom is falling short.
Yeah, Tom is very similar to Vince McMahon. Now
who
that I think
doesn't
about it.
Like sweatpants?
I hate them.
Why?
Don't own a pair. One of my sons wears them, and then he always loses his wallet. Hey, Dad, I lost my wallet again. Well, you know why? It's because you're wearing sweatpants.
And you know why? Because you don't have a fanny pack to wear with
right, to secure it.
Well, I didn't want to say it, but I loathe fanny packs.
I do too.
Hate is here.
But they're so
loathe,
practical.
Even more hate.
You know what I loathe? Delaware.
I thought you were going to say morning radio because most people do.
Or guys named Tom.
Yes, okay. Mick Foley is our guest.
Yeah, you visiting Vince McMahon in the hospital is one of my all-time favorite things ever. Yes. He looks so annoyed.
He was so good. To this day, what I think, and I was just about to, seriously, Tom, I'm not just saying this because you're here, but you make it so easy because you keep coming back to the show. The date. I mean, that makes it so easy because I've been there. We've all been there where you're like, oh, well, let me tell you about the show. And then you sound like you're scrounging. So you make it so easy.
Well, what about if I'm in the car and I tune in something and they're interviewing someone and I don't recognize their voice, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And I want to say which NPR show they'll go on for 45 minutes. You're finally going, okay, I'm going to drive to the station. I can't stand it any longer.
Yeah, you. Who is this?
Which socialist actor are you talking to? Identify them. We're hanging out with Mick Foley. You have so much going on. I wish you'd gotten here earlier. Can you next time come? Can you come?
I will.
Here
yeah,
for the whole show again. Yeah. We've had you do the whole show before. You can be our official guest host.
I would love it.
We can make fun of all kinds of things. Now, real quick, we were talking with Billy Gardell earlier, and I was asking him if he had a place in his house where he has kind of his showbiz stuff. Because as a general rule, I don't know about everybody else, but I have nothing from this show in my house anywhere. But do you have an office or a room where you have some of the awards?
I don't. I don't even have my Hall of Fame ring on display. The only celebrity thing I have a Christmas room, and I'll show you this. The only photo I have of a famous person is this photo of me singing Silent Night with Norah Jones, and it's me as as Santa. So,
that's awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is actually cool.
So that's,
wow. And that is the beautiful Norah Jones.
And what I love about it is, I didn't think she liked me. I honestly thought she either didn't have an opinion or she may have actively disliked me. And then I read an interview where she talked about me, and she was talking about when I showed up in full regalia. And like the quote, I had it done on parchment paper with calligraphy. And it's like, I put the quote and framed it, and it said, she goes, I don't know how to describe it because it was so surreal. He looked so real. He is Santa. And that's like my magic thing. I'm like, I made her feel like a little kid, you know, and that's like great. The optimum thing you're hoping for. So that's the only thing I have, only celebrity thing. I don't have I have something that reminds me of my wrestling career. It's called waking up.
and then trying to move.
Yeah, there's never a moment where never a morning where I go, I wonder what I did for a living.
because you didn't call it a career after one separated shoulder and legal action, right?
Yeah, maybe I should have.
Remember the beginning of the movie North Dallas 40 where he's getting out of bed?
Yeah, Mac Davis,
And Nick Nolte. Let's just shift gears for just a second. We're talking with Mick Foley. The big event is WWE Sunday evening at the beautiful Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It is the Clash of Champions. Excuse me, the Clash of Champions, and it's also going to be a special event on the WWE Network. Find out about their 1 month free thing. Now, I want to ask Jake, is as always dealing with his telephone.
That's right.
If I take that away from you, would you start crying? What would happen?
I become mute.
Okay, that'd be what a bonus for you.
Please take it away.
I'm trying to figure out who Jake reminds me of. Did you any wrestlers pop to mind? Personality wise, facial intensity. Billy Gunn.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Billy Gunn. Yep.
Yeah.
Facially, intensity.
Oh, maybe with a little Bill Paxton in there.
His nickname at time was Mr. Ass, so that would fit him perfectly because he is that.
Now, Jake, in your home, do you have a room where you have stuff? And if so, what famous celebrities do you have pictures either with or of or signed?
That's a fantastic question. I have two. I have, to answer your question, no room. The only two things that I have, actually three things that I have on the wall. One is an autograph from Oscar Robertson.
Ooh, nice. That's a good one. Yeah.
One is an autographed photo that I had taken of myself and John Wooden.
That's another good one.
And the third is when I went to Michael Jordan's Bulls retirement, which I thought was going to be his ultimate retirement. Of course, it turned out not to be. But his second Bulls retirement, when I walked into the Chicago Stadium, they said, or actually, I guess it would have been United Center. They said, there's a box of press releases around the corner. You can take one of those and then assemble inside the media area. And I was the first one in there. So I took two of the press releases, grabbed the box, took it to a back dumpster and threw it away and framed the two press releases. And to my knowledge, it's the only... I gave one away, and I have the other one, and I'm like, that's the only Chicago Bulls official announcement of Michael Jordan's retirement that I know of that exists other than the one I gave away.
Wow.
So I framed it.
That's weird and yet interesting.
I like ruined that. It for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, does Coach Wooden have so much respect that no one dares take on an adult film pseudonym with that name?
I would say yes. I would, unless it would be like John X would.
Yeah.
That's a very good question. Yeah. I'm not sure why your mind went there, Mick, but I know you didn't have any sleep. So I know you don't like to watch yourself, but when you hear that play
back. You're
going
to be Wooden John in your next career? Is that what you're saying?
Now, let's go around the horn here. Derek, in your home, do you have any special things, pictures of, like, I know you'd love a picture with you and Mick Foley.
Yeah, that'd be great. No, you know, I'm not a big autograph or picture person. I have a Patrick Ewing signed ball. He was my favorite player growing up that I treasure, and I have all of his. If you remember in the 80s, they made these starting lineup figurines for sports.
Oh yeah,
and they were
sure.
These horribly made plastic figurines, but I have every single Patrick Ewing one ever made. So I have those. Cool. My wife calls them my dolls, and those are on display in my basement, which is the only place where she lets me kind of keep anything.
Okay. So before we go, we got a couple things we got to do here. Got some points of order here. We have Colts tickets. I didn't even know that.
Can I give an alternate answer?
Yes, sir.
I did. It's in an office. The Dick Butkus poster I had hanging in my room from the time I was 5 years old.
I think I know the one. He's in the no helmet in the post.
Yeah. No. He's got the helmet on, but it's that real old school. You know, that dark blue Bears jersey. You know, and the before they even had the orange and the helmet. And he's like overlooking the line. It's a, you know, it's a bad, you know, Apple look. And I think 1970. And the craziest thing, like my sister-in-law says that her brother coaches Dick Butkus's granddaughter, can get it autographed. And like 2 years go by, I don't hear a thing. And then I do an autograph appearance with Dick Butkus for the new wing of a hospital in Indiana. And I said, Mr. Butkus, this may sound crazy, but my sister-in-law's brother, she goes, are you the guy with the poster? I said, yeah. He goes, I've got that in the trunk of my car. And he got it. He sent his brother out, and he signed it real big, you know, nice. Silver, Sharpie.
Awesome.
And we had that framed and mounted. And it looks good. You know, it's like, to Mick, with respect, Dick Butkus,
nice.
HOF, you know. So that's wow. that is autographed and framed. So that's the
that's very cool.
The exception to the rule there.
Mick Foley, our guest. A couple quick things. We've got a pair of tickets right now, courtesy of our friends at Penn Station East Coast Subs, to check out the Colts coming up a Sunday at
4:25.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Against the Chargers.
Yep.
How about that? Plus, it's a free beer Friday, so we're going to throw in a special gift card from our friends at 21st Amendment. But wait, there's more. Also, four tickets to check out Steel Panther at the Egyptian Room at the Old National Center coming up Friday, December 2nd. Be caller 9 for this basket of prizes. 239-1095. You and a friend get to go to the Colts game. Colts Roundtable brought to you by our friends at Circle City Tickets. They got tickets to everything. Get right up front. Check out our friends at Circle City Ticket. Thank you, Mick Foley. Mick, next time come in earlier. So
thank
hang
you
out,
very
hang,
much.
Hang
you guys
all
were great.
Day.
Really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Mick.
And where does one find Mick Foley in the social media world?
I keep it real, so website is real. At realmickfoley.com. Twitter is at realmickfoley. Facebook, facebook.com, realmickfoley.
That's very good. Thank you so much, sir. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
This is the show where we bring you in-depth interviews with U.S. soccer stars.
This time,
Sam Coffey.
The World Cup is in 2 years. Is it time yet? Like, can we get back into camp?
Tim Ream.
We're going to continue to show other countries we're not going to be pushed around.
And Jedi Robinson.
Every time you come back and you put the jersey on, it means more and more each time.
So we'll be back here with all the best stories.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.